All set?
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening. I'd like to officially call this meeting to order. It is 5:38, and as requested, it's January 16th, and this is our Citizen Police Review Advisory Board meeting. Renee, if you can do a roll call for members who are here in person and who might be here virtually.
Okay.
Please.
Jaime Tadeo?
Here.
Annabelle Nunez? Kate Calhoun?
Here.
William Ricketts? Absent. Martha Lemon?
Here. Terrific. Item number two, approval of the legal action report and meeting minutes from December 19th, 2023. Would a member of CPARB like to make a motion to approve the minutes, please?
Move.
Second.
Jaime Tadeo. Annabelle Nunez. Kate Calhoun. William Ricketts. Sorry about that. Martha Lemon.
Thank you. Item number three, TPD role play training. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Do you want me to stand up? Or?
No, you're fine.
Okay. So I was asked to be here to talk about the program and talk a little about the volunteer program that we have at 2003. Role playing has a very valuable tool that we as role players, we find that we're out of the academy. We get to see what really goes on in the training that's involved. And it's a double-edged sword. It's a good way. It's good because, as you all know, when we're on the beat, we hear media all the time, and we hear horror stories about what the police aren't trained, they aren't this, they aren't that. But we're out there doing it, and we see the training that they get. So if we hear conversations, we can say, no, stop. That's not true. And we're able to correct them or direct them to whoever it should be directed to. We find that most of our role players, you guys have worked with us for a long time. We've got a core group of about 30 people that really do a bang out there. One of the really nice things is it creates a relationship with the officers and with the community. And it's extremely beneficial, not to mention the cost savings going to the department. Let's see. And again, we create those relationships. We also work with our role players to see if they want to volunteer with them. But I'm going to move into the volunteer program. We have probably 50 volunteers right now, 45 to 50 volunteers. That have put in last year alone over 6,000 volunteer hours, which saved the department $163,000. That's a lot of time that the police don't have to, they can be doing other things that they need to be doing. We do things from research to helping with cases, listening to phone calls, working at records, we're all over the department. The biggest thing is people want to give back to the community. They want to see a better community. They want to help. And right now in this, for lack of a better word, in this society, nobody wants to help. It's all about me. It's all about what my needs are. But we have a group of people that really want to give back to the community. And it's a stepping stone. Case in point, we had over 25 people in our volunteer program that since 2017 have moved on to police officer recruit, to professional staff, or to CSO. And we've had three gone on to other departments. So the volunteer program is a great recruiting tool as well. And we're out there. We're in the community. We do community events, with the volunteers as well. Not to mention the cost saving, to the department. And again, the relationships. you know, we developed, like, with, you know, Mitch and I go way back, both playing, you know, all these officers here, I wouldn't put them, you know, it's a great program that we have. We encourage everybody to participate, so if you want to get involved. And it works well because we can go out to our communities. You know, I'm involved with three other board directors. And when I hear things, I can set them straight. You know, we talk to them. And, well, no, that's not how it really works. And, you know, of course, we can't give out details because, damn, like, you know, as far as what we do and things that go on, we share that. And we're there for our, basically, our family. You know, we think of the police department starting out as volunteers. Do you guys have any questions for me?
How do we sign up?
Very simple.
If we have members that are interested or anyone in the audience.
We have a website. DVD has a website. Go to that. Yeah. My email is michael.carrier@tucsonaz.org. Sorry.
Can you say the last name again and show it?
Carrier, H-E-R-R-I-E-R.
It's your German.
Oh, thank you.
That's not, but, yeah, I mean, we encourage people to get involved. You know, there's a lot of places that we use our volunteers, both in the divisions and downtown.
Mike, you have to be in certain shape to be able to do that?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, names, you know, we've got a guy that's got vision issues. We've had people with hearing issues out of the academy role playing, and it's actually added to the role playing because it adds an extra piece that they don't normally get. So, no, I mean, certainly, you know, if you've got a lot of health issues and you can't stand or something like that, that's there. But as far as volunteering or role playing, no, it's not. What happens is when you're out there, whoever's in charge of the role-playing, if you're in a situation, in a scenario that may be that way, you can let them know, hey, I don't want to be handcuffed, or I don't want to. But we have a lot of people that don't mind getting handcuffed. I've got more bruises on my wrist from, you know. So, yeah, there's no... You know, you have to be over 18 to be a volunteer, but same with the role players. You have to be here over.
Mike, how often do you do weekend goals?
Role playing, it's based on the needs of the department. So when they have the recruit classes, they send me a schedule, and then I send it off to the role players, and they sign up with me, and I just put them on the calendar, and then I send them an email out a week before saying, hey, you signed up. And I coordinate that with the instructors and for advanced officer training. Let me and a volunteer. Again, they come in, we go through a full background. You know, we put them in a spot. I personally volunteer 2 days a week, plus I do some role playing and stuff when I can. Any other questions?
They let you at the conclusion. You get to offer feedback as well from your perspective. So, again, the civilian oversight component comes in at that point as well. You know, the officers that are there leading the other recruits, for example, through the training, they're going to give it from the police perspective. And you get to say it from a civilian perspective. That doesn't seem right. I don't think Greg Hatway, you know, shouldn't have said something. So that feedback is important. You have that great opportunity.
Most of the evaluators are very open to, you know, certainly there's a certain curriculum they have to follow and the policies they have to follow. That's paramount and that's, but they may ask our opinion and say, well, what did you think about this or, you know, how, one of the other advantages is having the slaves involved with it is we all have different things in our backgrounds. There's things that we've gone through. And you might have somebody in a robbery scenario that maybe they were robbed at one time. And it helps go past that. It helps them move past that because it's in a safe environment. I can speak on that myself. I was in a robbery, and I had a gun to my head. And the first time I role played was with the assistant chief, Chili. And then I would call Chili's wife. Anyway, the first one I did was a bar scene, and it was a robbery at the academy. And it was like I was going through it all over again. But it helped me work through that.
Oh,
so it was very, very helpful. So that a lot of things are grounded. It helped. It's a two-way win.
A very surreal experience. I'll go for 3 hours and I'll scream F-U to the police. And at the end, they thank me. You ever throw me a experience ever? But it's true.
Is that Munich?
It's scenario. So. Yeah, you can all sign up. Okay. But if you have any questions, please email me. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, but when I get back, just send me emails and I'll respond to you.
Well, thank you for coming. We really appreciate you providing us with this information. I think it's very helpful.
Be prepared. And like I said, if you have any other questions, please reach out to Mitch or myself. But this is Mary. This is Mary. This is Mary. Somebody sent me an email. Somebody sent me an email. Hey, Mary, please reach out. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've had waivers that time.
Did you role play?
I just role play a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, he does too. Yeah. He's one of my stars.
Superstar.
I enjoy it.
Ram Captain Gallagher.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, item number 4, report from the chairperson, information only. Bill Ricketts might be out for a little bit, and certainly hoping that Carlos is working on his homework. Yeah, so you did? Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to do it publicly. So, because we want you on this board. Yeah. Hopefully we get you all coming here shortly. So, item number 5, call for the audience. At this time, the community may address the board with their concerns. The board may not address a specific concern at the meeting. However, the board may, at its discretion, make a future agenda item, at which time there can be a discussion. Community members are asked to address the board, not a specific member, and each person is limited to 3 minutes. Do we have anyone online?
No, we do not.
Not online.
Okay. Do we have anyone here who'd like to address the board? Yes, sir.
And, you know, my name is Stephen Moore. First of all, before I get started, I hope it's only 3 minutes. I'd like to say that I really appreciate it, Mr. Herrick coming in, or Officer Herrick, whichever the case may be. And, you know, there's so many great opportunities to volunteer. And, of course, it's set up by Mr. Fagan so the board members could get their training in. And I guess not only role-playing, but I guess there's other opportunities, if I heard correctly, especially with volunteering for the records department, I would assume that would also meet the requirements for the CBE for the board members. Being the new year, of course, I always set goals, though I don't always follow them through, but at least I set them. And so for betterpolicing.org, I set 4 goals for C part, and I'm going to have a handout there. I'm going to go over the 4 goals. I'll go over them quickly. I download the audio minutes. When I'm listening to them, because the dates frequently, more often than not there, I don't know if I've got the right meeting, but I'll need to start time and all that. So, that's one of the goals, and I'd like to thank the chairperson, Kate Calhoun, for doing that today. And I didn't see anything about elections on here. I don't know if there's going to be an election, but she certainly got my vote for the I had a vote. She certainly got my vote to continue on as chairperson, and I hope if she does it, then the next chairperson also announces the date. Goal number two, you know, the agenda, my understanding is the agenda is supposed to be posted or listed or made available or something like that, at least 24 hours before. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if you're going to hit me under the bus. But that's my understanding. So there's been issues with this in the past, and I raised it to the city clerk's office. And I know the city clerk's office will go ahead and send it over to IP, and then IP is supposed to do what they do. Sometimes it doesn't get posted early enough. And sometimes, I guess, like with this last one, they posted it. You can see the link here. There's a link. And then when you go click on the link to get the file, though, nothing comes up. So it's not. So I guess this one might not be so easy to accomplish. I guess I have to find out that it's not there on Monday and then call the city clerk's office or whoever else. And Greg's hacking came to get the meeting canceled. And I really don't want to do that if I had the option. Number three, I think the meetings are great. I like the discussions during CPARD, but I'm not always able to follow what's going on because they don't have access to the material. To get the material, I have to wait months and spend some money. What I did is on the back of this, you can see I sent an email to, I guess, somebody who's in charge of whatever, public meeting or something like that. So I asked him his opinion. I sent it today. I haven't heard anything back yet, but figured I'd try and get some help. But the way I look at it, it's electronic already. All they've got to do is post it on the city website before the meeting, and that way you know what's going on. I think it's important because it could reduce criticism of CPARD. You know, when you're listening to the discussions of CPARD and you're judging based on those audio minutes, sometimes you get the wrong, you know, you can easily get the wrong impression or you can be critical of CPARD when not necessarily so. And the fourth one is just to say, if the members understand, I want people to see CPARD this. CPARD is like no other organization. You know, you have things like PERB, the Post Review Board, but there are people, those citizens that serve on that board, they're appointed by DPD. Here, the board members, generally speaking, are appointed by a member from City Council. And there's a huge difference in the way they're running. And thank you for allowing me to work.
Thank you. Okay. Item number six, review of TPD investigations. In accordance with Section 10A-88F of the Mayor Council mandate, the board may only review the charges specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concerns regarding that investigation to specific mandate. So item, case number 22-0301, the incident report was on August 10. This occurred midtown. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 different allegations. And in summary, the complainant complains that she's missing several pieces of gold jewelry, which she believes were taken during the service of a search warrant on August 1st at her residency. I open this up to the CPARB board if you have any questions or concerns or anyone would like to vote on. Okay, thank you.
I have a question. So I get that there was a yellow sustained violation regarding the Fourth Amendment. And read through it. Just want to make sure it's clear in my head. Was the Fourth Amendment violation because the woman, the property owner lady, rescinded her permission for the officers to be in? They said, nope, get out. And then the officer reentered for whatever reason. What was the Fourth Amendment violation?
So the Fourth Amendment violation was the officer that went in to look for a specific person or persons inside the residence.
Okay.
And while he was in there, he opened his door in the bathroom. And that was caught on the bodyboard camera, video reviewing the allegations of the missing jewelry. So that was not part of her allegation. It was basically a subsequent finding from the department.
Oh, okay.
That he violated the appointment right by looking for things he shouldn't be looking for.
Okay. Other than that, it was pretty clear.
Full transparency, I was not able to get to the first two cases.
Okay.
I just want to make sure. I apologize to you, Madam Chair, and to the rest of the board. This is the first time in almost 8 years that I've not been able to get to.
I appreciate your...
That one.
Appreciate your honesty. So, and Martha, just to let you know, there was something, an analysis and conclusion that was noted in the case with regards to the Fourth Amendment.
about opening up the drawers.
Ah, so okay. Yeah. Would anyone like to vote on the fair and thoroughness of this case?
I can do that. I move to have case number 2-301 start to vote.
Okay. Emmett Tadeo.
Aye.
Annabelle Nunez. Kate Calhoun.
Aye.
And Martha Lemon.
So case number 22-0351. The incident occurred on 7/30/2022. Looks like this happened in Operation Division South. There were two allegations. And in summary, it was an individual who reported that her vehicle was towed and impounded by Tucson Police. She was not notified of the tow. And she was contacted by Gary's Towing.
So, I guess the question that I had was, was the officer supposed to submit the report, right, within like a period of time? And it was found that they didn't. It was 43 days after that it was filed. I don't know. I guess my question is, should that live for the person to approve that really piece at the end of
the Gary's Towing question.
So, this particular case, she has to notify what we call TWIX in an hour that the vehicle has gone to Gary's. And she didn't at that point. She would not. I believe the complainant, I wasn't here at that moment. I read from the case. It's not like the complainant did know that the vehicle was at Gary's the same day, though. So she was able to go to Gary's. She got rid of her items out of the vehicle, so she knew the vehicle was at Gary's.
Yeah, it kind of seems like her friend's nephew who drove it didn't convey as much information as he could have, being a direct party to the incident that resulted in the car getting towed. So
we still found the officer sustained because they were not putting the information correctly. She was still received a PPR.
I mean, that was pretty clear. I think I was just stuck at that.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I'm in a motion making mood. I move to find case number 22-0351 to be found fair and definitely thorough.
Second.
Okay. Jaime Tadeo.
Aye.
Annabelle Nunez.
Aye.
Kate Calhoun.
Aye.
Martha Lemon.
Thank you. And our last case, 22-0456. The complainant was received on December 7th, and the complaint, it was completed December 7th, 2022. It was completed on March 1st, 2023, and it was allegations, 1, 2, 3, 4 different allegations, and the complainant alleged that an officer was disturbing the peace and parked his personal vehicle, violating HOA rules, and was harassing her, cursing at her, and may have checked her personal records and accused the officer of poisoning her dog and more.
I did this one, and really well documented again, and did the work on that. So it was easy. But the long-standing history, interactions with Marana Police Department,
And so on the scene, a pattern of the types of allegations against different people. So I think taking into account sort of the patterns, and when it was investigated, there was really no evidence that she could provide. So there was nothing there.
Yes, my comments have more to do about, I hope she has whatever help she needs. Just reading all of that, it's like, it seems, of course I'm not a psychologist or medical person, it seems like she's a little off and needs help. So hopefully she gets it.
And my personal opinion, I'm just concerned that we had wasted the time and effort and energy for a few months into researching all of these complaints. And no disrespect to the complainant, but I think that the resources could have been allocated someplace else. And to have this on the docket for 4 months, looking at the history and looking at what was said, I don't know how to, I don't know how we handle something like that. From a CPAR perspective, from an OPS perspective,
everything needs to be looked at, and it's only after the investigation where we could come up with a judgment like that, but we don't know that situation until it's all looked at equally. And that's part of how CPAR remains relevant. The same, we give every case equal attention. To whatever degree equal attention happens outside of our meeting.
And happy to do that and happy to review this. But I'm just concerned that there's a lot of resources that were full time that were spent on
that's true.
Doing this investigation.
And I can speak to that, of how we handle that in OPS. So for the time that Detective Chan was investigating this, this wasn't his only investigation. Depending on, you know, circumstances outside of our control, our investigators will hold somewhere between 7 and 15 cases. And so in a case like this, he'll be doing a little work on it, making some requests, like the request that he made to DPS, the Department of Public Safety, for the allegation of the records request. So he'll make that request off to DPS, and then while waiting for a response back from them, he'll then go work on another case. And then when he gets the response back, he'll then work on that case and then move to another case. A lot of this case, we were waiting for evidence, and the complainant kept saying, well, I have more evidence. So in the interest of providing a fair and thorough investigation, we held the investigation open to give her the opportunity to provide the additional evidence. As Ms. Lennon pointed out, we take all those investigations in, and until we have enough to, especially this one, since it was an OPS closure, until we have enough solid, concrete evidence that it can be an OPS closure, we give every investigation the full, you know, diligence that we should with anything that comes in.
Okay.
Chair's provided a list of available cases to choose for review. You're getting a small way to screen because you're being told EC1, EC2, and EC3, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm being told what the allegations are, and I try to choose them based upon the allegations so that we are really covering a very broad perspective.
And you're seeing EC1, EC2, EC3 as well?
Yes.
EC1. You understand the difference. I mean, this board should by now, I'm sure. EC1 is going to be much more significant, and EC2 is informal, and EC3 is going to even make its way to the chain of command and is able to get died on the vine, so to speak, get that OPS. So you were able to get that much for screening. Of course, if you went to more involved cases, you know to choose EC1. So you were getting some advanced information. You're not getting contact, right? You're not getting, I don't believe, contacts are ones that are reported to, but you won't tell my contact.
So a contact is, if we document every complaint that comes into OPS. So if a complainant calls in and doesn't make a specific allegation against a specific officer. So even if you have a complainant that calls in and says, I don't like that I called 911 and my call was sent to call back and it took 3 days before an officer called me back to get my report. That's not a specific allegation against a specific officer, so we obviously don't investigate that, but we still document that as a contact. Same thing if we have a person with documented mental health issues and they come in with a complaint. Initially, we'll look at it first and say, could there be some validity to this complaint? Because there always could be. But then if we say, this is the same complaint that this person has made over the past 5 years for an incident that never occurred, we'll document that as a contact. Because again, it's not a specific allegation against a specific officer or specific actions. So there's a large group of them that do get documented as contacts, and Mitch pointed out that when we get to that level, we'll document it that way. But if, like in this case, specific allegation against a specific member of the department, so we give it that full investigation until we can either say we need to send this out to the chain as an EC1, or we've gathered enough information where we can close this in the office.
Got it.
So it's another way to screen.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about which ones the better ones to review. I'd be surprised if you get it. You're not even seeing the contacts.
Yeah.
But you're seeing EC1, EC2, EC3. And to Martha's point, you're exactly right. Until you have a chance to review it, it's like a forest goat, right? Life is a chocolate, right?
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're getting. So sometimes you get a better one, sometimes you get a case that you may feel wasn't terribly exciting when you did with this case.
Yeah, I'm not judging this as being an exciting or not exciting case by any means. Am I reviewing it? I'm just concerned about the labor that was needed.
TPD side?
Yes. Yeah, the labor on TPD side having to review and go through this, and just based upon the how many other allegations that the complaint had made to other jurisdictions. So it's just my opinion for what it's worth. Okay, so
I move that we look at case number 220456 as fair and thorough. So we're ready for that?
Yes, we are.
Second.
Okay. Jaime Tadeo. Annabel Nunez.
Hi.
Kate Calhoun.
Hi.
Martha Lemon.
So item number 7, Tucson Police Department, in accordance with the provisions of the state open public meeting law, these items are listed on the agenda in order to allow TPD to present a brief summary of current events pursuant to provisions of ARS section 38-431-.02. The board may not propose, discuss, deliberate, or take action at this meeting on the matter on the updates unless specific matter is properly noticed for legal action at subsequent meeting. So item A, TPD updates.
Hi, Kate. It's Chief Duffy. I'm sorry I'm virtual with you today. Updates is we're just prepping for the GEM show, so getting ready for that, doing the planning. The only other major thing, I'm not sure if anyone there has heard, it's called 100 Acre Woods, so it's a fairly large houseless population right along Golf Links, and so we have run into some issues there. With fire starting, some weapons being shot off, et cetera. So for quite a few weeks now, the city has been offering resources, trying to get folks into housing. So the cleanup on that is already underway. There's a lot of cars in there. So I'm not sure if Captain Carlson is still there with you in person, but his division is working on that. So those are some of the major things that we're working on right now, along with continuing with the violent crime in the PNI locations, et cetera.
It'll be Office of Professional Standards, Judge. Oh, sorry.
So as you all know, I think Captain Reese, former Captain Reese, said at the last meeting he's now retired. effective last week. So for the time being, I'm covering OPS. There's some other department moves coming later, and they're waiting to put a new captain or a captain in there. So until all those moves happen, so it's just more fluid. So I'm covering OPS until that takes place. I know you all know Detective Chan moved on to his dream assignment of working for MIST. We have identified another detective to bring into his place, but until some more detectives finish training and they can fill her spot in where she currently is, she won't be coming down to our office till then. Also effective the beginning of this year, we went full digital with our records. We're moving into the 21st century. So we're storing our records in evidence.com, fully digital. It will make it a lot more efficient in the office when reviewing, peer reviewing and closing out cases. It'll make it a lot easier for records when they're fulfilling public records requests to be able to redact them. And then it makes it a lot easier for the IPA to review the cases because he now has, he has the same level of read access to our restricted cases that our own investigators have. So rather than having to, you know, request a case from us to review and then us pull the case from the file room and give it to him to review, he's now able to just log into evidence.com and review the case as it is.
It's read on.
Correct.
And just a historical perspective, for a while, PBD had not assigned a captain over. It was just run by the lieutenant. And during that time is when the Aaron Bogart's two great back-to-back in custody deaths occurred. And there was some problems with how they were processed. And few mea culpas, and of course, council person, living as a commissioner, was the president during those. And they said, we're going to go back to work and put a chaplain back in there for that additional oversight and just way to monitor. So it's not that they don't trust it. And of course, I suspect that we'll be putting the chaplain back in as well.
Lieutenant Cornell, would you like to update on the Office of Independent Police Officer?
Oops.
Sorry. Actually, for the last month, it's been easy. I mean, I'm going to be an apologist here. Lots of holidays, and I decided to get COVID at the same time, pretty much. So, since the last meeting, there's not been a whole lot out of me. So I don't have anything else to share with you.
I'm glad you helped me. Okay, take care of the next meeting. So, okay, terrific. So item number 9, C Park vacancies. I think I put a little pressure on Mr. Lucio.
Yeah.
Oh, he did? Okay. Yeah. All right. And then I do also ask the other CPARC members, if you've got someone that you might think would fit the bill and be part of this organization, certainly let us know.
Chair, is everybody officially back now? If you start under the new position?
I don't believe so yet, but we had spoke to Yolanda and our supervisors, and they're giving a little bit of leeway just to get a bag from the mayor, to get the mayor to reappoint. We already sent out the notices, so we're just kind of waiting for our office to kind of get back from the holidays. And, okay. Yeah.
Because I talked to the mayor's office. Well, they're all on board.
Yeah, so we might send another reminder, or might actually just walk up to the 10th floor and see what's going on, and if you can also just kind of let them know you also want to be reappointed for another term, if that's what you choose. I'd have to look, because there's an 8-year term limit, so we'll figure it out.
Hey,
Iron.
Was that 8 years ago? That was 8 years ago? That was not 8 years ago. I was like 17 when I was 8 years ago.
It's like year.
All right. Any future agenda items that anyone would like to care about.
I've got one.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's about time, Mr. Moore, to present whatever issues you have to us so that we can discuss. Because it's great that you show up and tell us stuff, but we can't do anything about it. So if there's anything on your list of things that you presented to us, make a list and let's discuss them. Let's do something. Because absent of you actually being on the board and participating, it feels deep in my heart it's a waste of time unless we get to discuss it. So,
how would you agendize that? Is it just Stephen Moore's concerns?
I don't know. If you could submit a list of 3 or 4 items that you want further discussion, run them up the flagpole as usual. And we'll get something on the agenda. I remember
10 minutes. So 10 minutes on the next agenda. So we can have a conversation with Stephen Moore.
So take that, present it more. Present it. However way anyone can publish presents agenda items. Take that route and sometime in the future, in the next handful of months, so we can do that.
Well, you're presenting it as much as an item as a board member.
Yes. Figure out. So yes, to have. Yes.
Even more next month to 10 minutes.
Or however long, yes. Because
you can expand that if you like. You can even read those in use of force review, separate from the first, which are special. But there's an ongoing process where these cases are being reviewed at OPF. So if you'd like to hear about that process that's done at OPS, you can certainly tie that in with Mr. Moore's concerns about use of force complaints and maybe have OPS talk about
that would be great.
The other process as well. We'll take that 10 minutes.
That would be great. Can you share the item then?
Yes.
Okay. So prior to us adjourning, we're going to have that on our next agenda for our meeting February 20th, which will be hybrid as well, and it will be located here if you can join us in person. We prefer that. If not, you've got to join online. We certainly understand people's, yes.
And if you want to state for the record that the election should be for the next.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And then we'll have an election next meeting, and anyone who would like to address the board as future president.
Quick question, Madam Chair. If when I present next month on what our current OPS is, your support review policy is, and everything, if there are items that I'm going to bring to present to the board, like some of our documents of our processes and do I need to give those to the clerk's office prior to the meeting, or do I just bring them to the meeting to present to the board?
I would like you to probably give it to the clerk's office so that we have a formal record of it. That would be helpful. And the same would go for Mr. Moore.
And distributed maybe a little in advance to the board members so that
would there be information that you'd be distributing? You would just be focusing on topic A, B, and C.
It would basically be some of our internal flow charts for how we categorize uses of force and then how each type of use of force is investigated based on how it's categorized. So I could give them to the clerk's office before so they can disseminate them to you and then you can review them prior to the meeting.
That'd be good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hopes intended to be achieved.
It can be posted with you.
Yeah, I could definitely talk to Danny Garcia about that. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, and we'll see what Mary Temple. Okay, so it is 6:23, we are adjourned. Thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You're welcome.
That's more than that.